Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 320th program of Think Again, which is being broadcast from the 3CR studio in Fitzroy on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Think Again is a program of Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change for nearly 30 years. I'm Jennifer Burrell, and I'm very pleased to have Sophie Ellis on the line today. Sophie is from an organisation called Youth Law, and she's going to talk about the proposal by the Victorian Government for children 14 years and over to receive adult jail sentences for certain crimes. So welcome to the program, Sophie Ellis.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here this morning and to be speaking with your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us, because it's a really important topic and something that we really have to head off at the pass, I think. So firstly, Sophie, can you tell us about your organisation, Youth Law, and your own role with Youth Law?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I start, I just want to acknowledge that I'm calling in today from Jajawarin country, and I pay my respects to the traditional owners of this land that I'm calling in on today, and acknowledge that country here was never ceded. Mm-hmm. And I also want to acknowledge treaty and our continued support of that. So Youth Law is a statewide community legal centre, and we provide legal help and support to children and young people up to the age of 25 across Victoria. A lot of the help that we provide to young people is around a range of legal problems like housing and tenancy, family violence, child protection, criminal law matters, fines and debts. And a lot of those legal problems arise in circumstances where a child has had and young people incredible difficulties around safe housing, not having safe homes, disengagement or lack of support to continue in education. So we also provide referral support to young people into our community organisations, and we have a team of social workers to provide wraparound support to our young people who are accessing our help. So they're the kinds of common legal problems that we see in our legal service. I manage the criminal law practice, and I also practice in Wurundjeri country in Ballarat and Central Highlands area.
Yeah, so it's a very comprehensive type of service and I guess really well suited to young people, as you say, often come from difficult backgrounds, not having adequate support in their life. When I say support, I don't mean support services, but just in life in general. And so it sounds like a really progressive model. Probably used to be more common, this type of holistic model where you have social workers and social issues and social support being attended to along with the legal issues.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's really an acknowledgement that a lot of the drivers of young people encountering legal problems in their life are unmet needs of young people and challenges that they're facing. So, for example, that might be around mental health and disability. It might be that they are facing homelessness or are, in fact, homeless. As I said, they're facing unsafe situations. Or financial disadvantage. We see 80% of our clients in the last year have faced financial disadvantage.
Yeah.
So that's a huge percentage.
Well, it's not surprising with the very low benefits, inverted commas, that young people get.
That's right.
Youth allowance, it doesn't cover the cost of living, does it, let alone...
It doesn't. Often you see young people with fines who have no way to pay them because of all those compounding factors. And their youth allowance or what they're earning is so meagre, so small, that they can't even make basic ends meet to put, you know, food on the table, for example.
And I understand that you see a fair degree of young people who have left care.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the groups of young people that we assist and help are young people who are either in out-of-home care or who have exited out-of-home care. And what we, our services and our interactions with these young people have shown us is that, unfortunately, this is a cohort of young people who aren't adequately supported to transition to a safe and stable independence.
Mm.
So, for example, children in out-of-home care are actually in the care of the state. So the state is, for all intents and purposes, their parent.
Mm.
Too often what we see is as they approach their 18th birthday, despite there meant to be safeguards in there to ensure that there is adequate planning so that they have, for example, housing, pathways to education, to employment, we see young people facing a cliff where they have no housing, they've got nowhere to go, there isn't adequate care planning that's, and that their needs, while they've been in care, have not been adequately addressed. So there's ongoing compounding trauma, mental health issues, all of those things are ongoing for that young person. And that's not where what we need to be seeing.
Yeah.
We need to be...
We need a whole program on that topic, but obviously the government is a bad caregiver. It's a bad caregiver. And
the system is broken. It's not working and it's putting people at great harm, you know. Yeah.
So which brings us to the topic for today. So can you explain the Victorian government's proposal for children 14 years and over to be given adult jail time, or what I've seen called in the media adult time for violent crime? Are these children to be tried? I guess I'd also like to understand, is the proposal for these children to be tried as adults, or is it that they would be tried as children but given adult length jail sentences?
Either are bad, Jennifer, and this is a really good question. Unfortunately, we haven't even seen exposure bill. The bill hasn't yet been tabled, so we have minimal information about what the detail of these laws will be. But what we do know is under the proposed changes, children from 14 up who commit certain serious offences could be sentenced as adults. So these laws will apply to a range of offences, serious offences, aggravated home invasions, carjackings, and some recklessly causing injury offences. And the effect of that is that those group of offences, there's five in total, I understand, will be heard in the county court rather than in the children's court. So what these reforms would mean is that a 14-year-old child, also the maximum sentences are increasing. So what would we understand is that a 14-year-old child could face life imprisonment, ending a principle that's been in Victoria for a very long time, that children should be treated differently from adults in the criminal legal system for very good reasons.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but it's just horrific to think a child, everyone knows of, might be their own children or children of friends or people they know who have gone off the rails a bit in their mid-teens.
Yeah.
It's horrific to think that they could be writing off almost their whole life by being sentenced during that time for something that they've done.
Absolutely. It's actually heartbreaking. that we are seeing laws that punish children to a extremely long period of time in extremely harmful environment that is not going to provide rehabilitation opportunities. And we have like a presumption of jail being a penalty of last resort in Victoria for good reason. And that is because we recognise that children have unique characteristics, opportunities to when well supported, to turn their lives around. Children should be able to make mistakes. And we also know that supporting children to turn their lives around and to address the underlying things that drive, unsafe behaviours and criminal, offending, that is how we're going to make safe communities. It is long, hard work, but that is what we need to do if we're going to see a change. So sentencing children for decades is, it's actually horrific, not only for the kids, and it beggars belief to imagine, a 14-year-old facing that situation, but for our whole community. The harm will reverberate down generations.
Yeah, because from my understanding, it's not even based on evidence. To put a child or young people in jail doesn't lead to their rehabilitation or change over time. It's more likely to entrench them in criminal behaviour.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that the earlier a child enters the justice system and is has an experience of being detained in custody, the greater their chance of what we call recidivism, so reoffending upon release. And we know on the flip side of that, that the earlier we can wrap around a child and their family and support them with things like education, re-engagement, counselling, family violence support, addressing any medical issues that they might have, inability to access, healthcare, for example, or support if they have disability. The earlier we do that, the greater we see a diversion away from interacting with police and the courts,
yes,
and the carceral system.
And of course, if safety is a main point of this proposal, it's from what you're saying, it's not actually making the community safer over the long run. It's making it less safe because we're not looking at prevention. So at the same time as supporting children and young people, at the same time as supporting them and not doing violence on them, by the way, also it's a safer option because you're doing something preventive and it's safer in the long run. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And we need to acknowledge, no one wants to see kids, it's stating the obvious that no one wants to see kids committing acts of violence, and we fully understand the community concern around victims of these crimes, many of whom are children themselves.
Yes.
But the pathway that the government is proposing, this punitive pathway without addressing the early, the hard community prevention work that so many people are doing in the community, but it is really underfunded. Without doing that, without making the children safe, when children are safe, our community is, and the community centres children, what we see is children responding to that and thriving, and we see safer communities as a whole.
Thank you.
When we think, I'm just thinking about, the money involved. There was research has done about the huge costs of keeping a child in detention. For example, Deary in 2003 estimated, and this would have gone up, it was $5,000 to keep a child in a detention per day.
That's incredible.
Which added to an annual cost of about $1.8 million and for one child.
That's incredible.
So you can imagine what we can do with that money. And we know that early intervention and prevention, I should say, into all the things we're talking about, our community programs, education, healthcare,
alternative
drug
schools,
and alcohol treatment, or family violence. We know that they get a drop of a drop in the ocean of that money.
Yeah.
The Victorian government in the last financial year committed $4.5 billion to police.
It's just so much more expensive. Sorry to, I just want to remind listeners, you're listening to Think Again, 3CR 855 AM on your dial, 3CR digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. I'm Jennifer Burrell, and today we're joined by Sophie Ellis from Youth Law, who's talking about the Victorian proposal to have children 14 years and older who have committed certain crimes receive adult-length jail sentences. And I believe the idea is for that to go before Parliament by the end of the year, even though the legislation hasn't been drafted yet. So, Sophie, you were talking about how expensive the option of incarceration is, and $5,000 a night for a child to be incarcerated, and I'm just thinking of what community organisations could do with $5,000 a day to support a young person. That would be incredible. And even
look, and that cost really doesn't also calculate the harm, that will be caused to the child and the increased cost when that child exits of trying to repair that harm.
Yeah.
And the increased recidivism risk when that child ultimately returns to the community.
Yeah.
Prisons are not safe places, and they're no place for a child to be.
No.
Yeah,
and of course, as quite a few people have pointed out too, it doesn't even meet our human rights obligations. We have a Charter of Human Rights in Victoria, but also international covenants that we're a signatory. It doesn't meet human rights. So I'm just wondering what the status of human rights is with our governments to start with. And the other point, which I think you've sort of sideways referred to, is children's brains aren't developed. It goes against all what we know about the development of children's brains, impulse control, decision-making, thinking ahead.
All of those things, their ability to understand consequences. And that is why, so for example, in our charter, we're talking about human rights law, but there's a good reason. The Victorian Charter states that a child convicted of an offence must be treated in an age-appropriate way. And also the Covenant on the Protection of the Rights of the Child, which Australia is signatory to, also states that imprisonment and detention of a child is a measure of last resort and should be only for the shortest time possible when there's no other alternatives. And what we have here are alternatives that are evidence-based and that work.
And can you talk a bit about those, Sophie? So what are the? Can you tell a bit more about the alternatives and maybe some of the underlying principles of effective programs for children and young people, and if you have any examples?
Yeah, sure. So I guess what pathways work in my experience as a criminal lawyer is that we need community place-based models, firstly, that can meet the whole needs of a child and also meet the needs, where possible, of their families. So, for example, at Youth Law, we have an early intervention program where we have lawyers and social workers working together for young people, young adults, who wrap around a child at the first point of contact with our legal centre. Often these young people are victims themselves of family violence, where their safety needs may not have been addressed or may have been dismissed. For example, they may have been inappropriately identified as a perpetrator of violence where, in fact, they are the victim and haven't been, believed. They may be homeless. They may have disabilities, mental health issues, and may have had a, out-of-home care background potentially. So this is just an example, of a potential young person and what they might be facing. And so when we have social work support who can start to address those factors and assertive legal support that can, for example, represent them and provide that young person's story to, prosecution so that there's an understanding of where the drivers of, alleged offending have come from.
Mm.
And then that young person can be given the opportunity for diversion where they, continue to be supported through that and can show and demonstrate that through those supports they're not engaging in harmful behaviour. And that is where we see a turnaround, We also have Jennifer.
Sorry, you're probably going to give an example of what I was about to say, but I'm also mindful that this proposal would entrench systemic bias against certain groups like Aboriginal, young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also people from different cultural backgrounds who already have a bias in the justice system. So
absolutely.
I'm thinking diversion programs would be particularly relevant to these groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we know, for example, the Racial Profile Data Monitoring Project have done some incredible research in the overrepresentation of certain groups, just generally in Victoria. And this is looking at a little bit more holistically, not just young people, but despite a ban on racial profiling under the Victorian Police Manual, we know that the data through that's been obtained through that project consistently shows racial profiling against people perceived to be African, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, Indian, Asian, and also First Nations Victorians were 11 times more likely in 2023 to be searched than white Victorians.
That is a really shocking statistic.
Mm. So when we talk about the over-policing of First Nations people in our state, this is what we're talking about.
Mm.
And when we need to be funding programs like Bali Nalu, which is and supporting our First Nations led organisations. Bali Nalu is a VALS led Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service program for children, Aboriginal children, young people. And again, what we need is long term investment in these programs that is not that is ongoing and proportionate to the need to address, underlying root causes of, for a lot of children, offending is a response to, unmet needs and trauma as well. And as you say, children are still developing and they need to be given the chance and support to develop into healthy, young, safe people who can, be brought into our community and contribute in the way we know they can when their needs are adequately met from birth right through to, adulthood. And any child in jail is really just a failure of society. It shows we shouldn't be having kids in jail. We shouldn't be having kids engaging in harmful behaviours. When this happens, we know things aren't working, that we're not meeting them, we're not wrapping around them and their families from, as I say, the beginnings of their lives. So we need to reflect on that and there's plenty of evidence out there the government can draw from to show what is needed. There's no absence of it. But unfortunately, what the government is proposing is a solution that is simply political.
Yeah.
We can't even pretend it's anything but, because they know the evidence. We've had evidence through, national discussions around raising the age, so much expert evidence of that to 14. That hasn't been implemented yet. It should be. By that I mean raising the age of criminal responsibility to 14. We've had evidence through the Yuruk Justice Commission's inquiry, reiterates all these principles and the need, especially for, First Nations people to have self-determined, community controlled responses.
Yeah.
But all of this seems to be,
politically motivated. Yeah, and as you say, it's a so-called, it's not a solution, but it's political. I think that's what people are getting really disenchanted with too, with major parties, is they seem to be doing a lot of decision based on political advantage rather than following the evidence and doing what's really the best for the whole community. And it does strike me as also ironic that they want to deal with violence by inflicting violence on young people, because that's the violence that's being proposed. You don't deal with violence by acting violently against young people and children, certainly. But I do realise, Sophie, we're coming close to the end of our program. Can you just, is there something?
It's gone very quickly.
Yeah. Yes, it has. Can you say something about maybe what listeners can do? Is there some sort of campaign going on? Or is there something listeners can do to really let our government know not to go ahead with this proposal? And it is something we care about, and we do care about our young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one great thing listeners can do at the moment is call their MPs, engage with their members and have these discussions about, what needs to happen. I think that's a really great first step. And, have these discussions in your community as well, and continue to, support our young people through that way.
Mm, that sounds like a great suggestion. And people would be surprised, with all our cynicism and disenchantment, local MPs often do listen when there's a lot of people calling about something.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we need those voices to be engaging with them just as much as we need the scaremongering of our,
more. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So I have to sign off now, but thanks so much for joining us on the program and explaining this proposal, and for your activism and for the great work you and others are doing at Youth Law. It's been really informative and enlightening, and it's really inspired me a bit to really press my local MPs about this issue too. So thank you for coming on the program today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jennifer.
Real pleasure.
Thanks
to our listeners.
Take care,
you too. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again live on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to contact us or give us feedback or ideas for future programs, please email Borderlands. The email address is borders@borderlands.org.au. Alternatively, you could ring Borderlands on 0466 123 766. Our programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and on the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. To end our program for today, please enjoy Milku Mana by King Stingray.
Milku Mana!
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.